Risty Tees podcast is brought to you with the support of the Royal Pavilion and Museums.
Hello, yes, this is the second Christy Tea podcast in residence at the Royal Pavilion and Museums in Brighton, and obviously I'm Christy Tea. The Major Jeff Koons exhibition just opened at Brighton Museum. It's free and runs through till September the 8th. The Jeff Koons Collective is a voluntary group of young people aged 14 to 24. They're facilitated by freelancer Lindsay Smith, and they've been working with artists, curators and designers to create merchandising and a programme of events that responds to the Jeff Koons exhibition itself. I got a chance to interview the Koons Collective on one of their workshop days. They're an amazing bunch. The next event they're putting on is Play Late on Thursday 20th of June at 7pm at Brighton Museum. It's a fiver. All the late events at Brighton Museum have been pretty inspiring, and for this one, the Koons Collective will transform the museum into a kind of weird pleasure palace responding to the Jeff Koons. It should be fantastic. I spoke to four of the collective, Samantha, Imi, Hope and Charlie, as well as Lindsay, their facilitator. Anyway, I hope you like it. Here's the interview.
Can you guys tell me how you first got involved in the Koons Collective?
The museum sent out an email to young people that had been involved in working with the museum before, and I'd worked on a previous project. And I was like, oh, that sounds quite interesting. Might as well come along.
So you were already on the mailing list because of this. What was the previous project?
I worked on a booklet for the World Stories learning boxes.
Did you get involved pretty much the same way?
No, I knew Lindsay beforehand from other projects, and my mum got an email from her.
I saw an advertisement on the White Song Guide, and it says something like, do you want to get experience working with curators and stuff? So I emailed them and they gave me their Facebook page.
So you're kind of slightly more proactive than these guys who were just like responding.
We just turned up.
Yeah. Do you want to say?
Well, Lindsay sent an email out to my mum, and then my mum told me about it really, and I was just like, oh, that sounds cool, I'm going to come.
It seems like you guys also had already done stuff here, or was it, or were your projects with other organisations?
No, all of you had done something here before with... Well, these three had done something here for with me, and Samantha's new to us.
Yes.
So the challenge you were set originally was to produce ideas for merchandise stuff to sell. When you were given that challenge, how did you go about coming up with ideas in the first place?
Well, our very first one, we had an introduction to kind of Koons and his work and learning a bit about it. And then at the end of that session, they kind of explained a bit more about what would be involved in the project and what we'd be doing, and just invited everyone back and waited to see who turned up next time.
I think we kind of just looked at his artwork and kind of just responded to it.
I think we all sat around together and was like, oh, well, these are the ideas that I'd like to have. And then we narrowed it down to the ones that we'd want to work on, and then we narrowed it down again to what could actually be made with the money and what people would buy. And now we've narrowed it down again to what the Koons Studio will allow. There were three main ideas. There were the trading card games, the Winterbear onesies, and the little seagull-shaped mirrors. So we all kind of picked one to work on. Well, me and Samantha worked on the cards with Millie, so we've been designing those, and we're going to have them at our late event rather than selling them as merchandise. So we still get to play the game, and they still get made. What happened with the mirrors?
Wow. It's basically shaped out of seagull silhouettes, because seagull kind of reminds people of Brighton.
That's amazing. Yeah. It looks really good. And then you were going to produce those to sell in the shop?
Yeah, there's going to be our collective's logo here.
There were two different types of seagulls. There was one engraving on it.
Our original proposal was to create some merchandise and to create a pop-up event. And the Art Fund funded that, I believe it was the Art Fund. Now, the group have engaged really enthusiastically with programming events and making that happen. So we've ended up doing three events, which is quite incredible, and then the merchandise was happening sort of on top of that. But I think perhaps something that no one saw coming really was that merchandise is problematic. when working with Jeff Koons in the studio. They seemed to want to be very involved in that process, and that just wasn't feasible. So the communication has been quite sporadic and not very reliable. And as a result, we contacted the funders and asked if we could absorb the money that was originally allocated to merchandise into the events budget. As our events programme has become, you know, expanded, then we can extend it using that money, which they've okayed.
Well, tell me the story of the onesies then as well, because I thought that was a brilliant idea.
We were going to, have onesies made as the winter bears, but...
what we were going to sell, we were going to sell the onesies, but that's now become a costume for an event kind of thing.
We have to make, just plain white onesies now instead of them actually looking like the winter bears.
Basically, you're going to choreograph a dance, and then we could learn it up front and then come along and wear onesies with you if we wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
When I say we, I'm not committing to dancing in a onesie.
Oh, Chris.
I don't know, forgive me. But it does sound fun.
We have a woman helping us called Rosario, and she's really brilliant. She's really enthusiastic about it all. And she's really helping us. I don't think we could have done it without her.
Yeah.
So she's got other dancers coming along. Teddy bears sipping tea in Pavilion Gardens and hiding in bushes.
Tell me a little bit, if you can, about how your late event is going to work.
It's going to very much be based on childhood fears and childhood memories and games and things like that. So there'll be party food. We had childhood parties and there'll be giant games and dress up and stuff. So it's all going to be interesting.
It does sound like the events are a lot bigger and better maybe than you'd initially imagined.
Because we kind of had a menu of possibilities, didn't we, at the beginning of the project.
It's really weird to think how far we've come since. When did we start this?
February.
That's, it's May now, I think. That's quite good. It's not put me off, it's just made me more determined, I think.
Samantha's become our in-house graphic designer.
Were you already into graphic design before you became part of this group?
Yes, I was studying in Sydney, Australia, studying graphic design. So I had some basics about using the softwares and...
Which bits of your work have you found most rewarding as part of this?
I think it would be the collective's logo, because that is sort of our brand. We're going to have T-shirts that have the logo on it, and we're going to wear it during the event. And also, the logo was supposed to be on the merchandise. And the logo is also on the What's On guide, and it tells the readers that these are the events that we plan. So if you see the logo there, you will know that we are part of it.
Jeff Koons is a pretty edgy artist, and I'm not being patronising, but you guys are really young.
Yeah,
how have you found dealing with Jeff Koons' life and his work?
I personally don't like it. I don't like him, what I know about him as a person, but I like his artwork, if that makes sense. I don't like how he comes across, when we watched that clip or video of him talking and stuff. I just thought he was a bit in your face. Whereas his artwork, I don't know, it's different from the other artwork that you see on the wall.
Do any of you really warm to him as a person from what you've learned?
Not as a person. At first I didn't really like his basketball pieces, and then the more we kind of went over and thought about what they might mean and kind of the ideas behind it, I liked it more. And then actually seeing it in person, I think I liked it a lot. I warmed up to his work more than him as a person. He's still a bit...
freaky.
Do you think that kind of arrogance comes from his success, or do you think he's that kind of person anyway?
I think it does come from success, because when you've got so much fame, I think you just end up being a bit arrogant. I don't know why. Some celebrities nowadays are a bit like that as well. Fame and money can cause you to be a bit like, oh, I'm the best, and everyone thinks I'm the best, so... Yeah. His face.
Yeah.
And he looks at you through the...
I think in the adverts where his eyes are directly at the camera, so he's directly looking at you, it's a little bit creepy. I think especially when we've seen kind of the rest of the work that isn't in the gallery, and then you come in and you see like the bust, and it's like, oh, that's lovely, because you haven't seen the rest of the ones in the series that aren't quite
That are not as nice.
You're listening to Christy T's podcast in association with the Royal Pavilion and Museums.
What's your favourite pieces of work in that are on display upstairs?
The mirrors.
I can't pick a favourite. I like it all now that I've seen it. I wasn't as keen on the mirrors because I thought they'd just be, you know, mirrors. And then when we saw them, it was like, oh no, I like them. They're massive, but I like them.
I'm not so keen on the bust because, I don't know, it doesn't really stand out for me. And like Charlie just said, the way that all the other artwork in that is a bit not so nice. It just doesn't stand out for me. I think the mirrors really stand out.
I like some of his work. Some of it I don't really think is... I know there's a lot of kind of stuff that goes around about that's not artwork, that's just something being put on something else and then put in a museum. But I think some of his stuff really is just like, it's not even come out of his the packaging or something. So that's quite annoying. But some of it is really great. Like, yeah, it's really inspiring. The caterpillar on chains, I love that. Yeah, I really love that. It's just kind of not what it seems at all. So.
You think if he just does some that you like and some that you aren't into,
really don't like at all,
then is that enough for you for an artist?
Yeah, I think that's better in a way to have some artwork that you really don't like, because then you can kind of debate about the two. Yeah.
Like you're reacting, aren't you?
So yeah.
It's provoking a good reaction.
I think some of his work actually have some, like, shows his story of his life, like what he's going through at the moment, like maybe he's having some memories about his childhood at that time.
Mm. Like some of his artwork makes you really want to know what's going on in his head. Like
why do you put a basketball
Some of it's slightly disturbing as well, like twist on childhood.
Yeah.
It's all quite clinical in a way as well. It's so colourful but really isolated.
How does Jeff Koons' work compare to your normal taste? What sort of art do you guys normally love to look at?
Just like, I think it's just the art that you see in frames on the wall. That's the kind of art that I was used to before I even started learning about Jeff Koons and his artwork. I didn't even know that that kind of artwork could exist. I really honestly didn't, because I haven't really seen any artwork like that, so I just thought that the artwork in frames, that was the norm kind of thing. It's definitely taught me to appreciate art a lot more.
What about you, Charlie?
I'm pretty open to art. Like, I like most things. I kind of knew about kind of contemporary art. I think this project's taught me to appreciate it more and to spend a lot more time thinking about what it means rather than just going, oh, that's different, and walking past. I like that it's a bit different, that it's not just a painting on the wall, because I think that's everywhere at the moment. This is a very different experience.
I quite like stuff that's quite retro. So there's a couple of things in the museum that's like that. There's that sofa, the lips, I like that. Yeah, stuff like that, that's good.
I kind of like stuff that have a story behind it, like a meaning.
How do you feel about the fact that you've been an all-girl group? What are the good and bad things about responding to an artist like Jeff Koons as a group of women?
I think it's actually really good, because then we can all... I don't think there's... other than an embarrassment, which there is sometimes, it's more giggles and just laughing about it. Whereas I think if we had more males involved in it, I think there would be a lot more awkwardness. And, you know, I just think that's how it is. I think just as a group of, like, women all together, I think would really... just bond more.
I think it'd be interesting to see what it would have been like, what our ideas would have come out like if we'd had kind of guys giving their input. I don't think it would be like a good and bad point. I think it would just be different. Like, I don't think it's going to be one better than the other.
I don't know. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? A different dynamic. And I think we're all aware that it would have been different.
just not quite sure how.
They're just not quite sure how, although I think Hope's point about sort of that embarrassment, I think some of Jeff Koons' work is of a sexual nature, and it can be quite challenging to tackle that subject matter and those images. And I think perhaps as an all-female group, that felt a bit safer and a bit more open than it perhaps would have been. As facilitator, I think I would have found that quite challenging to deal with a mixed group.
Yeah.
I would have done, because it's certainly by no intention that it's all an all-female group, but I think it would have been quite a challenging dynamic to work with around some of those themes.
Specifically because of the artists.
We touched on earlier when we were talking to the others, just saying that all the artists we looked at when we were thinking about Jeff Koons were men. You know, like we looked at Damien Hirst, Andy Warhol, Marcel Duchamp, and I was sort of saying that there's not really a female counterpart to Jeff Koons. There's no one that works with issues around value or embedding that sort of capitalist value system that he is very much part of. It would have been interesting to see in a mixed group how people felt about that, and also his way of presenting Ilona, his wife, as a male artist presenting a female figure.
None of those three male artists would be seen as progressive either, so they're
no, there's no feminists.
No, they'd all see they all see women in the world. So it's interesting.
I think it's a really interesting question, because we've touched on that at times, haven't we? We've sort of gone, oh, we're all women. Oh, hang on.
We did have a male, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Very briefly.
He came quite late. I think it was probably, we probably put him off from you know when someone walks into the room when you're all chatting and all the talking stops.
And you've stared
at him. I think that put him off, probably.
I didn't realise who he was. And he was kind of walking around the room, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He like walked over there.
Yeah. I emailed about 30 people. 20 people signed up to a taste today. 16 showed up, and I think 2 or 3 guys had enrolled but didn't come. And then 13 of those 16 young women signed up for it, and then we've had 10 show up regularly.
If we did have males in our group, I think the views would be very different about the pieces of Jeff Koons' artwork. I just think that'd be really quite different to our views. I'm not saying that they won't think some of the views that we think, but I don't think, like, there would be as much immature giggles as there is right now.
Probably would have actually turned out slightly different.
Yeah.
If there'd been guys here, definitely.
In a less good way?
No, it just different.
Okay. Can you figure how?
No, I just kind of get the feeling that it would be different.
Yeah, like their way of thinking is probably different than ours.
Because there'd be like more input from, I don't know.
Given the challenges you guys have faced, you've put a lot of time in and got really quite heavily involved, are you left with appetite to do this again and do more of this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I want to, definitely.
Yeah, I'd definitely do it again. But I think even with the problems that we've come up against, it's just learning that it's not the end of the world.
Like, and experience. I will actually never forget this for as long until I die. I mean it, though, because it's been such an amazing experience. It really has.
I think I never realised that there was so much that I didn't know about kind of, like, galleries and what goes on behind the scenes, like, stuff I never think about when I go to it. Learning about it, it's like, oh, whoa, okay.
I made loads of new friends as well. I mean, I knew Charlie before, but, like, I've got, like, closer with everyone that I did know.
Yeah, no, you guys have been amazing. That's not always the way.
No, not at all.
You know, just simple things like today, we've had to abandon the mirrors.
And you know, well, we didn't get one either.
I know, we had 5 mirrors and 8 people in the room.
Do you really want one?
But people kind of, oh no, you see? It's just amazing.
You can have it if you really want to.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe you could share it. Like, someone have it. You have it for a month and I'll have it for a month.
I'll give it to you.
Really brilliant talking to you guys, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can find links to items discussed in this podcast by going to rawpavilionandmuseums.tumblr.com. For more information on Christy T and links to his writing and residence at the Raw Pavilion and Museums, please visit christyt.com. This is a Wine Cellar production.
you know that Canadian guy that eats food of a certain colour? Do you know this? It's pretty gross.
No, you're not telling me poos.
No, it's nearly as bad as that. He'll eat loads of food of one colour, then he'll go to an exhibition and throw up on a piece of work that's another colour.
No.
And then run away.
Oh no!
Oh
no! Oh no! That's disgusting!
Why would you do that?
His name. His defence is that it's still up, so...
And they took the smell away from his sick.
I guess so. Right. It's a fine line between art and vandalism.
It'd be so annoying if it was your art and your sick on, though.
Yeah. It would be really annoying.
Oh, dear. Into the country, lock the bathroom door, shower till you're clean, rub away a surface layer of scar. You're so scared of everything you aim for. Despise what you wanna become. If you love your things more than yourself, then you've really got a long, long way to go. What do you see every morning that you really wouldn't change if you could? Abandoned by the market, we're all too greedy, deep down to do them any good. Shower till